hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Let me tell you two things the Lord spoke to me this morning. If somebody says they have all the answers, the truth's not in them. Okay? And the second thing is, if somebody begins to teach you or talk about what you're believing, what you're studying, but yet you can't find where they're connected at the local body, you need to not listen to what they have to say. Okay? So if they're not connected to a church or a local people where they're in relationship with others, and they come and start pulling away at your belief and what you're learning, and you are connected, you need not to listen to that, because the body of Christ is to gather, not scatter. Is that okay? Because there's something hurt in them, offended, or something unclear, so they're coming from a filtered voice. So you have to have recognition of that. So it's not something. So you never follow that voice, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to what they say and digest it and study it out. I'm just saying you don't want to follow that voice if they're not connected to a local body, and they become a teacher to you, or they become a leader to you, and they're not connected, then you've got to be careful, because they can lead you in the place that they are, and that's isolated and all alone. Is that okay? That's important, because the body of Christ gathers, not scatters. In fact, the scripture says, when Jesus was talking about the parable, and he said there was it was 100 of them, and it was 99 together, and one left. Remember that? One sheep was gone. And he said he left the 99 to go find the one. Well, we've heard that spoken, that it says that, man, that one is so important that he'll leave the 99 to go get it. That wasn't what it was saying. Jesus didn't care more about the one than he had the 99. He just knew without 100, he was incomplete. Does that make sense? The one made the 99 complete, because there was 100. And when one left, he had to go get the one, not because it was so much about the one, it was about the whole. So he brought the one back to the 100, 99, and then they have 100, now they're whole. It isn't either or. It's not like I go 99, 100. You all hang on. There's enough of you to care for each other. You take care of yourself. We're going to go get this guy. He's by himself. We're going to go get it. Yeah. Why? Because this 99 is incomplete without the 100. That make sense? We okay with that? Because if we're not careful, we can pride ourselves in going after the one and abandon the 99. Or we can call the one rebellious and stick with the 99. The reality of it is, they're both important in the kingdom, and incomplete are we if all those that he had given us are not with us. John chapter 17, Jesus said it this way. He said, Father, I didn't lose any of the ones you gave me, except that the one that the scripture might be fulfilled. Right? That one went. And then what did the disciples do after the resurrection? They realized they had 11. They needed 12. Because why? David prophesied it, because it was going to be a complete government. So what they do, they bring in another guy. And he brings the completion of the 12. And that's how it works. Okay? So you realize you're complete. You're complete when we're all together, the whoever that brings God puts you in relationship with. That's not just in the setting like this. I'm talking about in your relationships. So if you have relationships that God has put you in, and you're not in those relationships because of whatever reason, then you got to know that it's the Lord's will for you to be in those types of, in those relationships. And you got to evaluate, are you scattering or are you gathering? And you want to make sure that you're gathering. Is that okay? That's good. Because we're all learning and we're all on a journey. Every one of us have been the one, and we've all been the 99. Is that right? I know I've been there. I don't know about you all, but I've been there. Father, Lord, my cup's running over this morning for you. I feel your heart. And I feel your sensitivity to people. I heard the Lord say just now, that, do you know how you found yourself in a place one day And maybe it's now, maybe it's been in the past, where you found yourself and you're going, oh, God, how did I get here? How did I do that? You made decisions, perhaps. Maybe it's financial decisions, and you got yourself in a debt situation. Maybe it's past, maybe it's now. And you're going, Lord, how in the world did I do that? That isn't even who I am. I made decisions, and you made several decisions over time, and then you found yourself in a place when you went, oh my gosh, what in the world have I done? How have I got here? What did I do? And then you come to yourself, and then you realize, that wasn't even who I am. How did that happen to me? I wasn't planning on that. And if you had to do it all over again, there's no way in the world you would have ever done it. There's no way. And now you're at that place, or you were at that place where you had those consequences that went with that, and you're going, gosh, if I could just get rid of that thing. Well, the Lord told me to tell you this morning that there's no condemnation in Him. And He wants you to make a flip and a switch right now. Right now. He said, if you can believe that in your own ability to make poor decisions will get you in a jam, and then you'll come to yourself and going, oh my gosh, and you're looking at it now clearly, the Lord says, I want you to begin to believe that as gullible as you were of making bad decisions, He wants you to be as gullible in making good ones. And this time, you're going to come to yourself and you're going to realize that it's been God all along that has directing your steps in this season of your life. And He's going to overshadow you with the goodness of God. So much so that you're going to have to look at yourself and say, there is no way I could have done this on my own. Just as poorly as you made decisions to get you in a jam, just as richly is He going to make right decisions with you to lead you in a place that your heart has been screaming for, but you couldn't get there on your own. He said, as you redefine your terms, you're not stumbling into something or falling into something. How about you fall into the blessing of the Lord, or you stumble into something good? Why do you have to always stumble into something bad or fall into something? Fall into goodness. Stumble into His righteousness. Fall into His favor. Stumble into His favor. Bump into His favor. It's just how you see life, through the filter of His lens or the filter of our lens. God says that there are people in here right now that even 2 or 3 months ago you were feeling empty, and circumstances of life have brought you to a certain place, and you're thinking, how did I get right here? And there are things that you didn't do on your own. Some of these things were things where other people have done, or just situations of life that were way out of your control. And now you found yourself right here looking at everyday life, and you're going, how in the world did this happen? What do I do now? And your whole world has changed. The way you see life, live life, wake up in the morning, go to bed at night now is all different because of just the way things are. And you didn't create them for yourself, or perhaps you didn't create them, or maybe somebody else did. But you're looking at life through this everyday occurrence, and you're going, what is happening to me? How did this happen? Why is that? And the Lord says, I'm going to show you a measure of me and a dimension of me that your heart longs for, but your mind never knew how to ask for. So I'm going to take the circumstances and what the enemy has tried to destroy you and hurt your life. I'm going to take and I'm going to turn that thing so much around that you're going to see things from the inside out as opposed from the outside looking in. And your heart's not going to be longing for things of the earth. You're going to be longing for things of heaven. And the things that you long for from heaven are going to be answered to you. And then when you go and occupy the earth and you live everyday life in this flesh that we're in, you're going to live that by the Spirit, because the spiritual eyes are going to be opened in a way for your understanding to hear and see ways that you never ever could have seen unless the steps had been taken in the past to bring you where you are today. And your worship is going to change, because you're not going to be worshiping God because you're thinking He's way out there somewhere. There's going to become a relationship with you and Him that you've always thought maybe it was impossible, but you never knew how to get there. And the Lord said that He has gone by your life. He's watched your life. He's just circled your life. He's invaded your life. And He's bringing you to that place in Him where all your past experiences whether they be full experiences or limited experiences, are bringing you and brought you to this place in life in 2014 to be an example for who He is in those in the world that you influence. Some of you thought your best days were behind you because you're getting older and you're thinking, my goodness, I don't know how my days are ticked. That's a lie from the enemy. He's wanting you to think there's an end because his job is to put a term limit on you. But God says, I'm not putting term limits on you because I've raised you up in eternal value, in eternity, and you're coming from a heavenly place. You're coming from a place that has no beginning and has no end. So don't buy into the times of days counting gone by. Don't worry about the regrets of yesterday and don't fear of the things of coming tomorrow because you'll be anxious. And he says, don't be anxious for those things. What you want to do is you want to recognize that he has you right in the place that you are right now for you to acknowledge that you're in that place and then trust him every step of the way. And every step of the way he has for you, his glory, his goodness. And it'll be like Job in the chapter 42. It says that my ears have heard about you, Lord, but now my eyes see you. Some of you have heard about him. Some of you have testified of him. But what you're experiencing right now in your life is a way for him to show himself to you that is undeniable, that is inexcusable. It's something that there's no way you can excuse it other than the fact that it's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Some of you are worried by situations that are overtaking you in life and you're wondering what your next move is going to make, and you're doing everything you know to do because there's not a lazy bone in your body. You just go after it with all that's within you. The Lord says, yes, but your heart is fixed on me. I'm pleased with you. I'm not upset with you. I'm just redirecting and repositioning you to accelerate you for some things in your life that's going to happen today, tomorrow, and years to come that you would have not been able to make the decisions to get you there unless you had gone through this pass and this way for you to be able to get there. I'm depositing things in you and ingredients in you in your life that you don't even know how to get there, that through life circumstances, I'm baking you as you've gone through this fire of time when people have said things about you that aren't true, when you know your motivations are true but somebody else is telling you they're not true, when they're trying to say things about you out there that are wrong, even with past employment and with past relationships and even things that are out there that you're tempted to go chase them down. God says, no. I'm isolating you. I'm insulating you. That I can speak for you. And your life will be a testimony and a witness unto God. I heard the Lord say, don't settle. Don't settle. So the enemy will bring it to you because he knows you're in need. And he knows what you need of. And it'll fulfill the need of the flesh. And it'll look like, it'll be packaged like something from God. Just like he took Jesus up on the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. It looked just right. But the Lord says, don't settle for that. Don't settle for that. How you will know it's him is it will cause you to reduce yourself. And it will magnify him. And it will have no sorrow attached to it. It'll be peace all the way through. Didn't look for his adversary. The adversary was looking for him. So the Lord says, keep your eyes off distractions. Sometimes people look like distractions because they say things and they do things, they misread you. But the Lord says, don't get your eyes on people and don't get your eyes on the distractions. I've put a work in your hand to do. And he's bringing back a passage of scripture when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. He was up on the wall building, and They came back to him, and they said, Sanballat came back and said, hey, come down from that wall. Explain to us why you're doing what you're doing and who give you the authority to do that. And the Lord said, and Nehemiah said, I can't come down off the wall, because if I come down here and go where you are, you'll have me talking laterally, and I don't have time to talk and explain why I'm up here. And when I do that, it'll stop the progress of moving forward. So I can't stop the progress of moving forward to come down and explain to you laterally who gives me the right to do that. You're just going to have to stand there and watch me do it, and the end will speak for itself. And the Lord just spoke to me and told me that there's people in here today that you know you're moving forward, and there's temptations at times for somebody to come and pull you off of that thing you're on, for you to explain, to distract you, to detour you, and to get you in the class going laterally, right or to the left. And the Lord says, don't stop what you're doing. You don't have to owe explanation. You don't have to advocate or defend yourself. You just go forward in the things that he's told you to go forward. And the end of that thing will speak for itself. It'll be a testimony of the goodness of God. But your distraction, and it's there for the enemy to delay your progress by pulling you off of where you're supposed to be. Don't even let your conversations be full of Sanballats. Way, but I know it's the Lord. I just heard the Lord say again that there's going to be such an outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this day that we're living in. It's an undeniable baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring sensibility into the power. Looked at the containers that the power is in, and it's turned them off. And the Lord said that there's going to be a container that's full of humility and sensibility. That the world will look past the container so they can see the power. There's a people that's on the earth today that won't minimize heaven to govern the earth. But there's also people on the earth today that won't abandon earth to hurry up and get to heaven. There's a people that are going to know how to live in that firmament place on the horizon where heaven and earth kiss. Righteousness springs up from the ground. There's people in here today that the Lord said that the enemy has thrown a major hurdle in your life. Some of them are not even just you, maybe your family members or your spouses. They've done a hurdle. It's done a hurdle that's supposed to take them out. And the Lord says that today he is raising up a standard against the enemy. And there's going to be an incredible turnaround in the situation. I heard the Lord say, calm and peace will rule and reign in that situation. see there's people in here that have had their identity in the efforts that they put forth, because they've had pride in their workmanship and their ministries and their jobs and their vocation. But the Lord said that he's redefining you to where that is a wonderful trait, but your faith in him will be the thing that you're known for more so than your vocation. And in John 17, he said that you gave me the glory, and now I gave it to them. The Lord says that he's not afraid to give you glory. And I know that we've heard it said that he won't share his glory. His flesh won't, he won't share his glory with anyone. Well, he wants to share it with you. The question is, are you the container that can hold it? Are you building the proper foundation to which the glory can reside and rest? And I say you are. I declare you the righteousness of Christ. I declare you are the head and you are not the tail. I declare your life is above only and never beneath. I declare that you're not a conqueror, but more than one. I declare that you're not the victor. There's not even a score. You're so far ahead. I declare you to be a son and daughter of God, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir of the Father. I declare that he adopted you in. You're not a foster child. Any day you can be pulled away from him, he's adopted you with permanent papers. You're the son and the daughter of the Most High God. And through Jesus Christ, you've been adopted into the family where you can cry out, Abba, Father. You can approach him because you have a right to approach him. I hear the Lord say he's restoring marriages, but not the way they used to be, but the way they've never yet been defined in your life. I heard the Lord say that there's somebody in here that if you could just, you're even settling in your mind, if I could just get that job for a certain amount of money, and you've already figured it out what it would take just to get by, the Lord says, don't even put it on paper. It'll be too low. And you won't even understand it while you're going through it. But at the end, you'll see it. The Lord said there's a repositioning of some people. You're repositioning in ministry because what once was a desire that you thought was for the right reasons and you were there, and now he's putting you into the place that he's truly equipped you for. Some people have loved to sing, and they never had the confidence to sing. And the Lord says he's going to open up the door for that desire to come to pass in your life. And you're not going to have to ask for it. He's going to ask you. You're going to be invited in. Some are musicians, and you feel like, gosh, I don't qualify because I see the caliber of musicianship that's here. And I see it's all around. And I just kind of play around a little bit. And the Lord says, no, I give you that ability for you to develop and be equipped. So you're going to be invited in. There's a generation of babies that are being born right now that are on the earth, and they're coming, and they've been coming for the last several years, but they're even the ones that are being born in this season and will be born in even the next. These babies will not be born in Egypt, and they won't even be born in the wilderness. They're going to be born into a place where there's no frame of reference of what we went through in the last 25 or 30 years. So they won't have to learn how to be unlearned. They're going to come out with the DNA and the frame of reference of life of the kingdom. So your job and my job is not to be a representation of hell, a representation of the devil, and a representation of sin. We are being to be a representation and a model of righteousness, of heaven, of eternal value, of life. But what if they go wrong? What if they don't? You don't put a new married couple through divorce care. So we don't put new righteous believers, new creatures, a warning of all the evil of the world. Guys, just follow this if you can. The movie The Lion King just came to my mind, and I know it's crazy, but The Lion King just came to my mind, where Simba was born, and he was an heir to the throne. And his father was the king of the jungle, and he had a jealous adversary. And the adversary actually pushed him out, took out the father, but yet he put the blame on Simba. And Simba ran for a long time. Till one day, Simba realized who he was. And when he realized who he was, he came and faced that adversary. And when he did, the truth was known to him, that it wasn't me all along. It was the adversary. And when the adversary was found out that he had no power because he did not have the identity, he was only counterfeit, Simba was able to take his rightful place. And he stood up on that mountain and inherited the king of the jungle. That's the circle of life. And the Holy Spirit just told me to tell you, He has made you kings and priests unto Him. And there's nothing in this earth, above this earth, or below this earth, that is higher ranking than you. So the only thing you're afraid of is fear itself. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? Nobody's looking around. The Bible never says, nobody's looking, but nobody, the Bible never says anywhere to make Him your personal Lord and Savior. Never. It never was an individual gospel. We made it individual, and you're a new creature in Him. And it wasn't really just about you, absent of everybody else. In fact, it was an Israelite, a Jew. When Moses went to Egypt, he brought them all out. He didn't say, hey, who's coming or who's staying? It was one that came. And when Jesus came, He brought mankind out of their bondage. He didn't ask you if you were coming. He brought you out. The question now is, do you believe it? So I'm not asking you to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Nobody's looking around. I am going to count to three. And if you're in here today, and I'm not talking about, confessing that He is Lord and repent of my sins. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're, you believe that Jesus Christ took self and sin and put it on the cross, buried it in a tomb to where you can't get to it, and then was resurrected by the power of the Spirit, that your past can be removed, but your resurrected life can be in Him and Him in you, and you can be a brand new creature, that old things clearly are passed away and all things become new. You're not a better old you. You're not a new and improved you. You're a brand new Him in you. If that's you and nobody's looking around, I want to count to three. I just want you to raise your hand and say, yeah, I need that. One, two, three. I need that. I need that. I see your hand. I see it. I see it. Yeah. Father, those that raise their hands, I declare them saved. I declare their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I declare that their eternity is now secure in you. I declare, Lord, that they're a brand new creature, that the old man is gone and the new man is alive, that you have quickened inside of them, God, a brand new way of living, not new and improved, not better, not just trying to do a little bit better every day, but a brand new way. The old voice is gone, and the new voice is alive. I declare them and I present them to you, Father, as the reward of your suffering. They belong to you. They're yours. Holy Spirit, baptize them in the power of your Son. In the name of Jesus, baptize them, Lord, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, from the inside out, and let them know that Jesus be glorified in them. Lord, let them be resurrected in such a way, God, that even the things of this world will be distasteful to them, and they won't even be appealing to even go to those things. And they'll recognize the voice of the enemy that tries to take them down that path that they're not wanting to go. And they'll have the courage and the boldness to say no. And Lord, let there be such a way that they'll fall and stumble into the path of righteousness, that they'll see, God, that you are for them and never against them. That you don't bring things on their life to bring them and teach them a lesson. That you're not trying to hammer them when they make a mistake and when they go the wrong direction. No, God, you are capable of fathering your sons and your daughters. So I present to you and I dedicate to you and I consecrate to you the baby dedications of those, Lord, that have been born again of heaven today. They're yours. I present them to you. The Holy Spirit, you take care of them. You lead them and you guide them into all truth and righteousness. You seal them to the day of redemption. And now, Father, your voice become loud as a mother gets to see a child be born, and that mother, that son and daughter begins to hear that voice and recognize it before their eyes are even open. I say, God, let your voice be so clear in their minds and hearts that the stranger's voice they won't even recognize. Yes. Yes. Guilt has to go. Condemnation is gone. The Bible says as far as from the east as the west, your transgressions are far removed from you. So if you're being reminded of it, it's not of God. It's either you or the enemy. And that should be confirmation that it's not God, so just squash it at the moment. Lord, say that there's people out here that you haven't been with your family or you've been disconnected from your family. The Lord said He's going to restore relationships. Sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, He's going to restore those. Grandparents. I heard somebody in here right now, you know who you are. Your grandparent just popped into your mind because you are a product right now of this day, product of a grandparent praying. for you. And the Lord has not ever let those prayers get discounted. And your grandparent has gone on to be with him, but don't think for one minute they're not ever present watching this thing take place. Say that there's somebody in here that you feel responsible for some things that have taken place in some situations that you were in. You feel responsibility because you're going, man, I did that. I thought it was the right thing to do, but God, what I'm realizing now is it just brought a lot of hurt and harm on people. And the Lord says, no, it didn't. You brought what was supposed to be brought, but they didn't receive it. He says to shake the dust off your feet. No more. No more guilt. They did not receive what you brought. You brought them a feast, and you pulled them up to the chair at the table to eat of that feast. They examined it. They looked at it. They picked it up. They even desired it. And when it came time to put it in their mouth, chew it, they were afraid of what people would think. So they pushed back off the table. They got up and left you sitting there. Your heart was broken because you went, my heart was right. Yes, your heart was right. It was pure. Great intentions. You had nothing to gain and everything to lose. You didn't even have really a dog in the fight. But you got in it because you were found in it. And the Lord says he has counted that as success and mission accomplished. Because you did your part. You brought who you are to the table. They didn't choose to eat. But he said in his goodness and in his mercy, he's going to bring them back around again and give them an opportunity to come and sit at the table one more time. You may not be the one that's bringing the food this time. So don't get frustrated or aggravated at them, or don't get jealous because they didn't take it from you, but they will take it from somebody else. The bottom line is they're taking it from him. So let them be successful when they come together, even though you're not maybe a part of that. Celebrate with them. Honor them. Because the people that they're supposed to reach and touch are far greater than the little problems and disillusionment that they've gone through there for a season. And God has prepared a people for you that's already sitting at the table waiting for you to bring it. Says, I have set in the body strategically those that are hearing my voice, those that have courage and boldness to step forward. There truly is an expression that's coming across the earth today, particularly across our region, that we are going to be very familiar with. It's not about one body of people, it's about the body of people. He's aligning his body like a chiropractor would align the skeleton, the bones of a body. Some things that have been kind of out of whack and out of joint are now coming back into place. There's an acceleration of ministry that's going to happen because of the alignment. And doors are going to open up instantaneously. It's more business opportunities, ministry opportunities, or growth opportunities, or revelation and understanding, or wisdom, or education opportunities. He said, you've weathered the discomfort of being out of line, but I have snapped it back into place. You're going to begin to see healings take place and miracles take place that we've been praying and believing for years and years and years. Instantaneously. The tension is going to be on us trying to figure out how it happened. But the answer is that the sovereign move of God activated by the faith of his people. It's not formula driven. It's not people driven or personality driven. It's God driven. Thank you.
Okay, praise the Lord. My name is Char. About 25 minutes ago, God began to talk to me about someone that was going to be healed tonight, today. And they were, he showed me, they were sitting in this back section. I see it's kind of emptied out now some, so I'm not sure they're still here. But let me tell you what he showed me in the spirit. I saw, if you ever watched an old Western, you know, and they had the hanging tree and they had the guy on his horse with the rope around his neck and they're ready to hang him. You had the rope around your neck and it was hooked to something. And I just saw the Lord just, phew, he came through and he just sliced it clean. And you're free. Whatever that represents to you. If you've been condemned over something and you've got yourself in such a place that you don't think that there's any way you're going to get out alive, yes, you are. If it's a sickness, something wrong in your neck that makes your neck feel like it's tied up like a drum,
mm-hmm.
What do you think it is, Pastor?
It's a yoke of bondage.
Some kind of yoke of bondage. Would you like to hold up your hand if it's you back here in this section? Right in here. Anyone here? Been doing this for 40 years. I know when I hear from God. So hold your hand up unless you've already gone. I don't know. But Pastor, I don't know. Will I just praise the Lord? If any of you want prayer for that, just come to Pastor. And the Lord is good. He's good all the time.
Yes, he is.
And all the time. By the way, Pastor, I'm going to have to speak the 1st of March up at Preston Park.
All right.
He called me last
good.
Night. So, it won't be a Baptist service for sure.
That's good. Well, whoever had your hand up there, you can come up front if you want to. We're going to pray. If you want to, you can go right back to them. Let's not make them walk to us. You go to them. All right? He's right back there. Yep. Mm-hmm. You go right back. You go. Why don't you all go back to him to pray. Reverse this a little bit. That way there's shows in the back of the room. How's that work? You know what I feel? I feel like the Lord, how many of you know that God's been in here today? There's no question about that. And I feel like he's equipping us to hear his voice. And just honestly, how many of you did hear the voice of the Lord today in your heart? Not just what I said, because I felt like I was under the unction of the Spirit. But you heard the voice of the Lord speak to you today specifically. There's no question he's speaking. He's speaking to your life. He's freeing us from things, positioning us for some other thing. And we're headed somewhere. So often in my life, I have looked so far ahead because I'm able to see so far ahead, and then I'm not able to enjoy the moment that we're in because I'm so much of a visionary. And when you're looking so far and you're already living in that in your mind, but you're not there in reality, you have sometimes to you make everybody's life miserable around you because they're going, God, can you not be just happy? Can you just not be joy-filled? And the Lord kind of quickened in me today is that the journey of this thing is just as great as the end result. So you might be in the midst of one of the greatest places you've ever been in going, God, how in the world did I get here? And I want this thing to be over with. I want the answer now. Well, you already have the answer. Now just kind of rest in it and let it walk out. And it's going to work out in your favor. I promise you. It's going to work out for you. It already has. I believe that by Easter, we will have a building. I need somebody to believe with me, agree with me on that. We're going to be in a building because we're going to have some ministries that are going on. And we're gonna feed the people in the city. We're gonna partner with different places, food, clothes, you know, addiction. All of that. We're gonna be the body, right? But we're not gonna be just a bunch of humanitarian people that feel good about ourselves by meeting needs of people. We're gonna raise up a spiritual giant that they are not old, they're new in Him, and they're gonna grow up and mature to where they hear the voice of God. And a stranger, they're not going to follow. And when they hear the voice, when you hear the voice of God for yourself, there's no way You have to go to everybody else trying to find it. You just get confirmation is what you get. And I'm telling you, things are changing. Things are moving. Things are moving quickly. Now is the best time to be engaged in what God is doing. Right? I believe it with all my heart. I mean, engaged. It's moving. I'm doing this 2 or 3 week series here that I've been doing. I started last week on the new creature. What if the gospel is true? What do we do? How do we live? If it's really true that he took all of our sins and now we're free to live in him and there's nothing between us and him and I'm secure in my role in with him, how do I live this thing out? How do I do this? If it's true that by his stripes we are healed, then why is it that I'm still hoping and things just don't turn out the way I think they should sometimes? Why am I disappointed because I've got all my hope in that when I don't have my... Have I made my doctrine and my belief system in what he hasn't done versus what he said he would do? Right? We've got to change the way we see him. And we're going to believe that the gospel is good news. There's no bad news in it. None. There's no disappointment in the gospel. There's no discouragement in the gospel. There's no setbacks in the gospel. There's no death in the gospel other than his death and our identifying in his death. We get life in the gospel. And I'm telling you, he's bringing life back into the body because he's breathing into us like at a rate and a pace that we've never experienced before. This is the best time to be alive. The best time. I'm telling you, it's the best time. And individual ministries and businesses and opportunities are going to accelerate like you've never seen. I promise you, your life is going to be fast-paced at a greater pace than you've ever been. But it's going to be at a highway pace, not a back road pace. And it's going to be the highway because he's paving the road for you. He's the one driving this thing, right? It's the best time. I'm telling you, it's the best time. Don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. Because he says your latter will be greater than your former. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. And he is the beginning and he is also the end. He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. It's all wrapped up in him. He authors it, he finishes it. He births it, he brings it to pass. And he will bring it to pass in your life. Isaiah said it this way: can God bring it all the way to the birth canal, but yet can't bring it all the way forth? Yes, he can. He that began a good work shall perform it to the day of what? It's coming. Not he splits the eastern sky, but to the day it becomes revealed to you that he's there. He will split the eastern sky, however that looks. But until then, we're occupying until he comes, right? Father, I pray a prayer of blessing over this entire body. I say, God, bless them. Bless them coming and bless them going. Bless them, Lord, when they don't even know the blessing is upon them, bless them anyway. When they feel ungrateful, bless them. When they feel like they don't know how to turn to the right or turn to the left, bless them. Lord, forgive us in all areas that we know not what we do. In Jesus' name, we call this people blessed, righteous, saved, forgiven, one in you, alive in you, and the best days are this week ahead. We're going to see you, hear you, and experience you in a greater dimension in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you guys. See you next week.